second chapter of Hilchos Gzeila Aveda, the laws of robbery and of loss, of a lost object. This chapter contains 16 halachas, primarily dealing with what happens to an object after it is stolen, and different factors which affect the value which the thief is required to return. What are some of the factors which can affect the status of the stolen object? One is shinui, whether the object has changed, whether it has been changed from one form to another, as the Rambam will describe later in this chapter, exactly what is considered a change. Another factor is yiyush, when the owner, the original owner of the object, has already lost hope of retaining ownership of the object. It is stolen and he has forgotten about it. Another factor is shinui rashus. Let's say the thief has sold the object or given it to somebody else. Now it has changed ownership from the thief to someone else. This is also a factor. The Rambam will also discuss what happens when the object which has been stolen has increased in value. Let us say he has stolen a lamb, and now the lamb has increased in value as a result of the additional wool which has grown on it, as a result of its fleece. This is also a change, and all of these affect the amount which the thief must return. Perek Sheni, the second chapter, Halacha Aleph. Hagzela Shaloi Nishtanis, a stolen object which has not changed. And as we mentioned at the beginning of these halachas, that gzeila is different from gneva, in that gneva is done in secret, whereas gzeila is done openly. So a stolen object which has not changed, ella harehi kamesha hoyisa, but it is exactly the same as it was at the time it was stolen, or basically it is the same as it was when it was stolen. In that case, afal pishin is Yahshua baili mimenu, even though the owners have given up hope of getting it back. And furthermore, the thief, the robber, might have even died now. And now it is owned by the sons of the thief, since it has gone together with his inheritance. So one might think that since the original owners have lost hope of getting it back, and furthermore, the thief doesn't even have it anymore, it's his children. Nevertheless, since it has not changed, it itself goes back to the original owners. And the stress on ba'atzma means the object itself, and they do not have the choice of only giving back money, but they must give back the object itself which was stolen. However, but if it has already changed form in the hands of the thief, in that case, even though the owners have not given up hope of getting it back, the thief has acquired the object as a result of its change in form, and he must pay back money, the worth of it, at the time that it was stolen. So as we see in this halacha, when there are basically two factors involved, whether the object has changed form, and the idea of yiyush, we see that yiyush, the giving up of hope of the owners, does not change. But rather, if the object has not changed in form, the thief is required to give it back and does not have the choice of giving the money. Whereas if it has already changed form, then he can even give back the money and does not need to give back the object itself. And the yiyush of the owners is irrelevant. Halacha Beis, v'din zed din teirahu, and this law is by biblical decree. Shanemar, as we see from the pasuk in Vayikra Hei, pasuk Chav Gimel, v'heishiv es hagzela asher gozol. He must return the stolen object which was stolen. Mipi Shmuel lamdu, and we learn from the oral tradition, imhi keshegozla meshalem esau. If it is the same as it was when it was stolen, then you must pay back with it. Vimnishtanis beyode. But if it has changed in the hands of the thief, meshalem demeha, then you must only give back the money. And this is the indication of the verse. Ve'eshif esagzela asher gozol. You must give back the object which was stolen, meaning that it was the same as it was when it was stolen. But if it has changed, you don't have to give back the object, but you can give back money. Now, as we learned in Halacha Aleph, that even though the owners have given up hope of return of the object, if the object has not changed in form, the thief is required to return the object itself. However, nisyashu abayli mimenu, but if the owners have given up hope, v'lei nishtanis, and the object has not changed, which as we mentioned in Halacha Aleph, he must return the object, kona hagazlin kol hashvach sheishbicha achayush. The gazlin, the thief, has acquired for himself any improvement in the object which improved after the owners gave up hope. And therefore, ve'ena meshalim ela keshas hagzela. He only must pay back the worth of the object when it was stolen. Let's say, for example, he stole a cow worth $100. And as he stole it, and after the owners gave up hope of getting it back, the cow became pregnant and bore a calf. And now that there's already the cow together with the calf. So now it's certainly worth more money. Let's say now it's worth $150. Does the thief have to return the cow with the calf, or just the cow without the calf? The law is that although he must return the original object, anything which was any improvements which were added on to the object after the original owners gave up hope belongs to the thief. And therefore, he only has to return the cow, which is worth $100, and not the improvement, in this case, the calf, which was born by the cow. And this is by rabbinic decree, mipnei takanas hashavim, in order to encourage people to do tshuva, to return, to correct their misdeeds. Because if, after investing and working so hard with this animal or field or whatever it was that was stolen, and he has gained a certain amount of money and a certain amount of wealth from it, and it would require him to give back everything which resulted from this original theft, the person would never be able to get out of his financial mess and would never ever do tshuva. So therefore, when he gives back the stolen object, we estimate for him what was the amount of improvement for neto min hanigzol, and he takes this money back from the one who was originally robbed. Let's say, for example, someone stole a car. Reuven stole a car from Shimon. And Reuven painted the car. Originally, the car was worth $1,000. And now the car is worth $1,100 as a result of its new paint job. When Reuven returns the car to Shimon, originally it was worth $1,000. Now it's worth $1,100. Reuven must return $100 to Shimon, since now the car has increased in value. Now the Rambam discusses what happens if there's shinui reshus, the ownership of the stolen object has changed. Halacha Gimel. Machra hagazlin einosna b'matana. Let's say the thief has sold this stolen object to someone else, or has given it as a gift to someone else. So now it's no longer in the hands of the thief, but in someone else's hands. So in this case, afal pishalo nishtanis hagzela, even though the object has not changed in form, eino chazeres ba'atzma miyada lekeach. The one that bought this object from the thief does not have to return the object itself. Since the original owners gave up hope. Whether the yiyush, whether the giving up of hope was before the object was sold or given, or after it was sold or given. If now they have already given up hope of getting the object back, the one who has bought this object from the thief has acquired it as a result of the change of ownership and the yush, the giving up of hope of the original owners. So we notice right away that shinui reshus, changing of ownership, is not as powerful as actually changing the object itself. Because as we learned in Halacha Aleph, changing the object itself will lead the thief to have acquisition of the object, even though the owners have not given up hope. Even then he still acquires the object. Whereas here in Halacha Gimel, when is it that shinui reshus, change of ownership of the stolen object, will acquire it only if there is yiyush, if the original owners have given up hope? Incidentally, in Cheshen Mishpat, the Ramal learns, and the Alter Rebbe paskins this way in his Shulchan Aruch Sif Yud Aleph and Hilchas Gneda the Gzela, that the custom is that although with Yush and Shinui Reshus the buyer has acquired the object, the custom is to give back the object to the original owner. However, if it was not a case of a gift, but rather he bought it from the thief, although he should not have bought it from the thief. But if he did already, then the original owner must give the money back to the buyer so that he should not incur any financial loss. But then the custom is that he gives back the object to the original owner. In Halacha Beis, we learned what happens if there is only Yiyush, giving up hope on the part of the owners, and there is Shevach, there is improvement in the particular object. Let's say there should not be Yiyush, but there is Shinir Shus. It changes hands by the thief selling it to someone else. What then happens to the Shevach? Halacha Dalit. Hagezel bihishbiach. Someone who steals an object and it increases in value. Umachar, and he sold it to someone else. Oy heirish lifnei iyush. Or he inherited it. In other words, it was passed on to his children. And either of these two acts, that he sold it or it was inherited, either one happened lifnei iyush, before the original owners gave up hope of its return. Who gets the shevach? Ma'ishish biya chayrish. He inherited onto his children the shvach, the increase, the shevach, the increase in value of the object. U'ma'ishish biyach mochar, and the increase in value he sold to the buyer. Kana lekeach ayeres es hashevach, and therefore the buyer, or the one that has inherited, acquires the shevach, the increased value of the object. But he has not acquired the object itself. Since there has been no Yiyush, although there is Shinui Rishus, without Yiyush he has not acquired the object itself. So although he has acquired the increased value, he has not acquired the object. And therefore, the Neitel Dmei HaShevach min HaNigzel U'machzir LeHagzela. He takes the increased value from the original owner, but he must give him back the stolen object. Which in our example, if Reuven had a car worth $1,000 and Shimon stole it and then painted it, it's worth $1,100, and then it was inherited to Shimon's son Levi has acquired the additional $100, but not the car itself, so he must give the car back to the original owner Reuven, but Reuven must give now Levi the $100. But now Reuven is now out $100, and he can thereby go after being after having paid the buyer. He can now take back this money, this shevach, the additional $100. He can take it back from the gazlan, the one that stole from him. In our example, Shimon, because he has not given up hope. When was it we said in Halacha Beis that the thief has acquired the shevach, the additional $100 in our case? That's only when there's been years, the original owner gave up hope. Over here they did not give up hope, therefore the gazlan has not acquired $100, and although the original owner must give it to the buyer, he can nevertheless recover this money from the one that stole from him originally. And so too, if the additional value was put into the object by the buyer or the one that inherited the object, in our example, Levi painted the car and now it's worth $1,100, so too, when Levi returns the car to Reuven, which again he must do since there has been no Yiyush, he also can take the Shevach, the increased value of the object, from Reuven. However, this, that the buyer acquires the increased value of the object, the shevach, applies only for a Jew. Halacha hei, machar agazlan legoy. Let's say that the thief sold it to a non-Jew. Afal pishe ishbiach hagoy, even though the non-Jew himself added on to the value of object. So Reuven had his objects, his car stolen by Shimon, and Shimon now sold this car to a non-Jew, and the non-Jew painted it. He has to return the entire object to the original owner, Reuven, and he has no right to demand back the money of the shevach, of the increased value. However, let's say this goy sold it to another Jew. Machra goy li Yisrael, achashesh biach. Let's say that this non-Jew sold it to another Jew after it increased in value. Do we say that the non-Jew being in between has eliminated the possibility of somebody later acquiring the Shevach? Or do we say that, no, he's a Jew and acquires the Shevach like anyone else? The Rambam rules. The Gemara asks this question in the name of Rava, and the Gemara does not reach an answer. So therefore the Rambam learns that the law is somewhat in a suspended state. Since the original thief was a Jew, and this one that now holds it is also a Jew, the second Jew, the one that got it from the thief through the Goy, does acquire the Shevach, just like in Halacha Dalit, that after someone bought it from the thief, he acquired the Shevach. But on the other hand, let's say that this $100, Bim Tafas HaNigzo, let's say that the one that was originally robbed grabbed the car back, and he doesn't want to give $100 to the one that he stole it from. And the one that is now in charge of the car says he's owed $100 because the car is now worth $1,100, not $1,000 like was originally stolen. The law is Ein Meitzim Miyadi. We do not take the $100 out of the hands of the original owner, in our example, Reuven. Although the law is that we would say that he has to pay him, that Reuven would have to pay the present buyer. Although he gets his car back, he has to pay him for the Shevach. Since the halacha is not clearly decided in the Gemara, if he should go ahead and grab the car, we would not demand from him to take the money and give it to the buyer. In general, when we have doubtful cases like this, where the Gemara does not decide the halacha, the principle is leave the money where it is now. So it's in the first case, in halacha hey. Not the first case, but after the Jew has bought from the Goy. Since the present buyer who bought from the Goy is now holding a car worth $1,100, therefore the extra $100 stays with him since he now holds it, is now holding it. On the other hand, once the person has grabbed it away from him, and he now owns the car worth $1,100, since we are in doubt, we cannot take the $100 away from him and give it to the one that bought it from the Goy. The money stays where it is since we are in doubt. Halacha Vav, Kvar Biyarno, we already explained above in Halacha Beis. Shagzela Sheishbicha, a stolen object which increased in value, Acher Yiyush, Oy Acher Shenishtanis, after one gave up hope of getting it back, or after it already changed form, Hashevach Lagazlan Mibnei Takonas Hashavim. The increased value goes to the thief because of the established principle our sages made to encourage people to do tshuva. Even though the value of the animal or the object has increased by itself, certainly if the thief put in money to the improvement of the object, this would make sense perfectly that this improvement should belong to the thief. If he painted the car, or for example, he took a skinny animal and then fed it until he fattened it up. But even if he did nothing to increase the value, it increased by itself, nevertheless he still acquires this increased value. And now the Rambam gives examples of this. Ketzad, for example, Gazal part of an isabra etzle. If he stole a cow and it became pregnant while it was in the possession of the thief, bein sheyolda kedim shetavu b'din, bein shadayin leyolda. Whether it had already given birth before he has been brought to court, or whether it has not yet given birth. Regardless of either case, and so to a second case, Gazal Rachel Venitana Etzle. He stole a lamb, a female sheep, and it became full of wool. Its wool has grown while it is in the possession of the thief, and this certainly he did nothing to facilitate. The wool grows by itself. Regardless of whether he has cut the wool before being brought to court or he has not yet done so. Since the owners had given up hope of getting the object back, he only must pay back the worth of the object at the time that he stole it. And the additional value, which is now added on as a result of the pregnancy of the cow or the additional wool of the sheep, belongs to the thief. Now, does he give the money? In other words, is it the money now he acquires, or does he even have the right to keep the calf itself or the wool itself? So in this case, the Rambam differentiates. Beim yoldav gzaza, if the animal has already given birth to the calf, or he has already cut the wool from the sheep, hagiza is vavladish shel gazlan. The shavings, the cut wool itself, and the babies, the calves themselves, belong to the thief. On the other hand, v'imadayin le'yoldav le'gzaza, but if he has not, the animal has not yet given birth, and he has not yet cut the wool, shaminle, then we just estimate the value, v'netel ha'shevach min ha'nigzal, then we take the additional value from the one who was originally robbed, u'machzer ha'be'ema atzma, and he must return the animal itself. Let's say, for example, a regular animal is worth $1,000, and if it's pregnant, it's worth $1,100. So if the animal has given birth already, the thief keeps the baby and gives the animal back to the original owner. If it has not yet given birth, he gives back the animal, and then the original owner must give him $100, since now the cow is worth more than when it was stolen from him. In this last halach above, we dealt with a case where there was yiyush, the owners gave up hope, and the entire shevach, the entire improvement, happened after the theft. What happens when some of the improvement came before the theft and some of it afterwards? Halacha Zayin. Gozel parum muberes. This is a case when he stole the cow when it was pregnant. V'nis yosha bailim. And then the owners gave up hope. V'achar kach yolda. And then it gave birth. And also, Rachel to Una, he stole a sheep, a lamb, which was full of wool. V'nis yosha bailim v'achar kach gzaza. And then the owners gave up hope of getting back this sheep. And then he cut off the wool. Do we say that he acquired the whole shevach? He acquires the animal and he acquires the wool. In this case, it is an intermediate case. Meshalim dmei apara homedus leilet. He must pay back the worth of the cow when it was as it was worth, about to give birth. Udmei rachel homedus ligazes, and the amount of the sheep when it was ready to be shorn. For example, let's say a cow is worth $1,000, a pregnant cow is worth $1,100, and let's say a calf is worth $200. Since there has been yiyush, the owners gave up hope, then the thief gains the shevach, the additional value of the animal. And how is the animal increased in value? It is now worth $100 more than it was. Because when it was stolen, it was worth $1,100. It was a pregnant cow. Now it's a cow worth $1,000, and there's a calf worth $200. So it has increased in value $100. This $100, so to speak, belongs to the thief. Therefore, the thief must pay back not only to give back the cow, but he must repay the amount this cow was worth. In other words, to give back the cow plus another $100, since the pregnant cow was worth $1,100, and that's what he stole. However, this halacha and the previous halacha are all speaking when there was yiyush, when the owners gave up hope. V'im lifnei yiyush, but if it was before the owners gave up hope, oikeidim shenishtana, or before it changed form, yolda egzaza, it gave birth or was shorn. Before a change, or before there was yiyush, hariagizus favlades shel bailim, the shearings from the lamb, and the children, the babies which were born from the cow, belong to the original owners. And even if it first became pregnant, or it first started growing wool after it was stolen, since the owners did not give up hope originally, and it has not changed form, since this is not considered to be a change that the sheep grew wool, or that the cow became pregnant, is not called a sufficient change. As we will discuss in halacha, in later halachas, halacha yud, and so on, what is considered a sufficient change. But since there's been no yiyush and no change, hagzeila bereshus by law, he adayin. The stolen object is still within the possession of the original owners, and any improvements which happen to this animal or whatever object was stolen, all of these improvements belong to the original owner. When did we say our sages decreed that the improvement should belong to the thief in order to increase their chances for tshuva? This is only after the original owner gave up hope. But if he did not give up hope, then the shevach, the additional value, belongs to the original owner. And therefore, as long as the thief has it, it's all improvements still belong to the original owner. And afal pi shagazlan chayev banseh, even though the thief is responsible for any damage done to the object, even if he was not responsible. Let's say, for example, the animal dies a natural death. The animal dies of old age. He stole the cow. It was worth $1,000, and it dies of old age. The gazlan, the thief, is responsible for to pay back the $1,000, even though he does not own it, he stole it, he has not acquired it, and he has not even acquired the shevach, the increased value. Nevertheless, he is responsible and must pay back the value. We mentioned in Halacha Beis that any shevach, any increase in value, after yiyush, after the owners have given up hope, this improvement belongs to the gazlan. And this was made because of takanas hashavim, in order to increase the chance that the thief will do tshuva. Now an exception to this rule, halacha ches. Ganava gazal. Let's say the person stole secretly, or he stole openly, v'hiktish, and then he donated this animal for use in the Beis HaMikdash. V'tavach, and then it was slaughtered. Achar shenis yarsho ha'baylim, after the owners gave up hope. The hektish also, by the way, must be after yiyush, because if the owners had not given up hope of getting the animal back, the donation to the Beis HaMikdash is meaningless, because he cannot donate somebody else's animal. But if it was after yiyush, and there was already donated to the temple, harehi bereshus hagazlan mishah shehigdisha bilvad, it is only considered to be within the possession of the thief after the time that he made it hektish, after it was donated, kedei shelo yehei chaytin niskar, in order that a sinner should not be rewarded, v'kov ladesel v'gizei sel mishas gneva ad shas hektish, and all of the calves born, and all of the shearings of the sheep, from the time of the theft until the time that it was donated for the temple, shel bailim, they all belong to the original owner. In other words, like this, that when did we say that any improvements in the animal belong to the gazlan after yiyush, in a regular case? And we do that to encourage the person to do tshuva. But over here, it's not a regular case of doing tshuva over here. Over here, he has already donated the animal to the Beis HaMikdash. And perhaps the reason of tshuva over here does not fit. The Magid Mishnah says that over here it's no longer possible to konas hashavim. It doesn't make sense over here. And perhaps the explanation of the Magid Mishnah is that he cannot do tshuva now and return it to the original owner. Since there was already yiyush, and he has donated it to the Beis HaMikdash, he can't give it back to the owner, because now it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't have any possibility of giving it back. And since the reason the sages put all the shvach towards, it made it all belong to the thief, was in order to get him to do tshuva, and now it can no longer do tshuva, giving him the shevach would just be chayta niskar, it would just be making money, because this is not going to encourage him to do tshuva. He cannot do tshuva anymore. It was already given to Hektish. He cannot give it back to the original owner. And perhaps this is why in this case, although the Ravid asks, and the commentaries have some trouble with this, perhaps this is why our sages in this case did not give the shevach to the gazlan. However, this is only a case, like Vlades and Gizeis, where the shevach, the improvement, came naturally, without any effort on the part of the thief. But halacha tes, b'med varim amurim, when does this apply? That any of the improvement between the time of the theft and the time it was donated to the temple belonged to the original owner, and not the thief, b'shevach haba me'elov kagein gizus uvladis, from some improvement which came by itself, like shearings and calves. Aval im hayas a kachushu pitma, but if it was originally a skinny animal that he stole, and he fattened it up by feeding it good food, in that case, afilu lifnei yush, neitel min hanigzal shevach hapitum. even though there was no Yiyush, nevertheless, the one that stole can take back from the original owner the improvement that was involved, the value which the animal is now worth as a result of being fattened up. And so to any similar improvement which involved cost to the thief, he can recover it from the original owner. So if the animal was originally worth $1,000, and as a result of being fattened up, it is now worth $1,200, even though there was no yiyush altogether, nevertheless, since he has expended money in order to improve the animal, when he gives back the animal, the original owner must compensate him and give him back $200 for his investment. In the first halach of this paddock, we learned that if the stolen object has changed its form, that even if the original owner did not give up hope of getting it back, since it has changed, it now belongs to the thief, and he only must give back money instead of the object itself. For next halacha is that Rambam will deal with what is considered a change. Halacha Yud. Shinei acheiz lebriyosei, a change which is capable of returning to its original form. This is not called a change, since it is only temporary, and it could be returned to its previous form. It is not considered a change. Ketzad, for example, Hagezel Eitzim v'divkam b'masmerim. He stole pieces of wood and then connected them together with nails. V'osa mehem teva, and he made it into a box. Before it was wood, and now it's a box. It seems to have changed. Nevertheless, ein shinoy. This is not called a change. Sharei efshel aparkam. Because it's possible to tear it apart, and then it will return to be pieces of wood, just like it was before. Therefore, this is called a change, which is temporary. It will go back to its original form. Before it was pieces of wood. Later on, it will also be pieces. Could also become pieces of wood. And therefore, it is not called a change. And therefore, the thief was responsible to return the pieces of wood in themselves rather than just the value. And so to Allah Yud Aleph, Gozel offer Vasol Levena, if he stole dirt, dust, and he made it into a brick, he took earth and made it into a brick, but now, before it was offered, and now it's Levena, it also seems to have changed. Leikana, he has not acquired it. Sheim yodaka Levena, tachzer offer kesha'ayisa. Because if he grinds up this brick, it will become earth once again as it was before. And it was also only temporary change. And so to Gaza Lashon Shel Matches, literally a tongue of metal, meaning a long, thin piece of metal, Vasal matbeya, and was made into a coin, like kana, he does not acquire it. Shem yaticha matbeya, yachzer loshen kesha'ayisa. Because if you melt down this coin, it will once again become a piece of metal as it was before. V'ken kol kayetze bazeh, so to any similar case of shinoi acheiz libriyase, a change where the object will go back to its original form, in any of these cases, the thief does not acquire the object, and he must return it as it originally was. Halacha Yud Beis, Aval Hagezel Eitzim Musarfim V'Kitzitzam. But if someone stole pieces of wood and then burned them and cut them into small pieces, well, then it's impossible to make them again into pieces of wood as they were. And so too, Eichakak Behem Va'Asam Kelim, or he dug out indentations in them to make it a vessel, such as digging out and making it into a bowl. Or he stole wool and then dyed it, changed the color, where it cannot return to its previous color. Or he combed out the wool and bleached the wool, where again it will not go back to its previous unrefined form. Or he took spun pieces of thread and made it into a garment. Or he stole a brick and made it into earth. Or he took pieces of rock and smoothed them out, or he took money and melted it, and now it's metal. These are called shinu, they are called changes. Why? It seems that even if you made money, you took money and melted it down, you could still make it back into money. And so too, if you ground up the brick, made it earth, you could take the earth and make it into a brick again. Why in this case is it not called also a change which will go back to its original state? Because if you take this money, and if you took this metal and made it back into money again, it's not called going back to its original form. It's called ponim chadoshus, it's like a new creation. Which is not the case. When you took the money and made it back into a piece of metal, that's not called panim chadoshas, evidently because it's not called a new creation. Whereas over here, taking metal and making it into a new coin, this is called a new creation. This is not the same as the coin that there was before, it is not identical. Which is not the case with the original mass of metal, it is the same mass of metal as it was before if you melt it down. The kenkol kayetzibayan, and so to any similar case, where it cannot be returned to its original previous form. And the commentaries, by the way, ask, why is there a difference between the case of thread, which was made into a garment in Halacha Yud Beis, and the case of wood, which was made into a box in Halacha Yud? It seems just as you can take apart the box and make it into pieces of wood, so too you could take apart the garment and make it into pieces of thread. And the commentaries leave it as a question. Halacha Yud Gimel, a gezel mas yeshanis, a person stole old coins, v'shofen v'chitshon, and now he polished them, and they look new, leikana, he does not acquire them, this is not called a change, sharemis yashnin v'chesen keshohoyu, because eventually they will become dirty again, and they will look old, just as they were before. Therefore, as we mentioned in Halacha Yud, it's a shinoi achesel ibriyosei. But gozel mas chadoshes v'yishnon, but if he took new money and made it look old by darkening it and making it dirty, kana, in this case he acquires it. Because it has changed. Before it looked like old money, and now it looks like, before it looked like new money, and now it looks like old money. Aye, he could always polish it again and make it look new, but now it will look different. It won't be exactly the same as it was before. If he makes them new again, it is considered to be a new creation. It's not exactly like it was before. It still will not look brand new. It will look like old coins which were polished. Gozel dekel mechubar, if he stole a palm tree which was attached to the ground, uktsotze, and he cut it down, leikana, he does not acquire it, and even though it's been separated from its source, it's still called a dekel like it was before. And as long as it has not changed its name, since it has not changed, it is the same piece of tree it was before, he has not acquired it, it's not called a change. Bafilu karse chulias chulias, and even if he cut it into rings, the rings are still called chulias shel dekel. It still has the name dekel associated with it, and therefore it is not considered a change. But also kaireis kana, but if he cut it into beams, pieces of wood, then he does acquire it, because it's no longer called dekel, it's called beams. And therefore, as in other cases, if the object itself has changed and the name does not change, that is enough to be considered a change. But if the object does not change, it is not considered a shinoi unless the name of the thing changes. So since over here it's just cut into pieces, it hasn't really changed, but now the name has changed, it's no longer called dekel, it's called kedes, therefore it is considered a change. Halacha Yudalit, Gozel Kaides Gedalis Vasan Katanes. If he stole large Kaides, large beams, and he made them into small beams, Leikana, he does not acquire them because they are still called beams. But Osan Luches Achinishtana Shmam, if he decreased the size so much that they are no longer called Kaides, they are called Luches, which is a different name used for short beams, short pieces of wood, Kana, he has acquired the object, and then he must return only the money and not the object itself. Since it has acquired a new name, it is considered to have changed, and it will no longer be made back into large beams after it has been cut. gozal lulav, let's say he stole a lulav, a palm branch, vehifrit olav, and he separated all the leaves of the palm branch, kana ha'olim. He has acquired the leaves, because now it is no longer called a lulav, and it will no longer be able to become a lulav, once the leaves have been pulled off. So since it is not a lulav, it is now leaves. He has acquired the leaves. And so to gozal olim va'asen chufya, if he stole leaves, and he made it into a chufya, since each leaf of the lulav is a double leaf, the way you make a chufya is you pull apart this leaf, the olim, in half, and then you take all of them and tie them together into a sort of broom. Then it is called a chufya. Kana, he acquires it, again, because it is now called a chufya, and no longer olim. And so too, one cannot make it back into olim, since it has changed its form, it cannot be made back. Gozal tlev nasa ayil. If he stole a tlev, a sheep when it was very young, less than a year, and it became an ayil, which is the name used for it, when it is more than 13 months, egel v'nasa sher, or he stole a calf, and it became an ox, as in terms of its growth, this is also considered a change, and therefore he has acquired it. U'meshalim keshas hagzela, and he pays back according to the value of it, what it was when he first stole it, and does not have to return the animal itself, because this is considered a complete change. A shed is different from an eagle. Aside from its name, it's a completely different sort of animal. Although it originally was a calf, now it has changed. Even though the owners did not give up hope of return of their eagle, it is no longer an eagle, it has grown up. And as we said in Halacha Aleph, if it has changed, even if the owners have not given up hope, he must only pay back the value and not the original object. Now let's say the gazlan has stolen a vessel. Let's say the vessel is worth $10. And now while it was in the gazlan's hands, it is broken. And now the pieces are still worth something. Let's say they're worth $2. So originally it was worth 10, now it's worth 2. How does he give back? It has now changed. How does he give back the value to the original owner? Does he give back the pieces and with it $8? Or does he have to give back the whole $10 and he holds on to the pieces? As we'll learn in this halacha, the choice is up to the original owner. Tesvav, gozokli ushvore, if he stole a vessel and then broke it, ein shomin le'apchas. We do not estimate the decrease in value from what it was worth as a whole vessel to what it is worth now, and then tell the thief to give it back together with the pieces to the original owner. We do not say that. Ela mashalim domov. We tell him to pay back the full value of the vessel, what it was originally worth. And the broken vessel, the broken pieces, can be kept by the thief. But on the other hand, but if the original owner would rather have the broken pieces, he himself has the choice of taking the broken pieces, and then the thief has to pay back the difference in value. So you must give him back the pieces and the $8 if that's what the original owner wants. Because our sages established this choice in order to be in the favor of the original owner. If they don't want, they have that choice. Whichever they want, they're allowed to do. The king called, and so to any similar case, such as an animal was stolen and it died, and we have the choice of giving him the animal, the dead animal, with the decrease in value, or the value of a live animal, the choice is up to the original owner. We learned in Halacha Beis that if there has been yiush on the part of the original owners, and the value of the animal has improved, and has increased as a result of an investment on the hand of the thief, or that it has grown wool or so on, then the additional value, the shevach, was determined by our sages in order to improve the chances for him to do tshuva, was determined to belong to the thief. Let's say the animal has merely gone up in value as a result of the change of market value. Halacha tezayin. Gzeila shalei nishtani svahukra. Let's say the stolen object has not changed, but it has just become more expensive as a result of market value. In this case, afal pishin is Yoshua baili mimeno. Even if the original owners have given up hope, harezu chayzeres lebailim. He must give the original object back to the owners. Vein lagazlin baklum. And the thief gets nothing. The only time our sages established that the thief should get the increase in value after the original owners have given up hope, as we mentioned in Halacha Base, to improve the chance of tshuva, only in cases such as the shearings and the calves which are born to the animal. But improvement as a result of increased market price. If the object will be returned in its original form back to the original owner, he has no right to take any of that increased value. In this case, our sages did not determine that such an improvement should go to the thief.